Sorry? Lunch after church, yep. And it's going to be good. Let's see, we've got announcements and we got praise report.
A praise report. Got 3/10 inch of rain.
Yeah. And maybe a little bit more coming, hopefully. And sounds like some got a whole lot more than others. Yeah. Prayer request. Let's do it. I'm sorry.
Oh, a friend of mine, Steve Calderon, I think we've prayed for him before, but he's going through chemo and battling his cancer and everything, so just a little lift him up.
Okay. Anybody wants to come up and lay hands on Skeet, come on. And if you can't reach Skeet, get the closest one to you. Dear Lord, Father, we thank you so much for this man of God that you've given us. Lord, it just defies comprehension what he means to us, Lord. And he needs your help right now. Lord, the devil has put something against him, Lord, but it's only because the devil knows what he's going to do for you, and he wants to stop it. And we pray that you'll intervene, and we thank you already for the healing that he has. So there's other things that can be done to manifest praise for you during this time that he's going through, Lord. And we pray for those instances. We pray for divine appointments. We pray for divine healing. Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do in Skeet's life.
Amen. Lord, I just thank you for the word of your book that Skeet has brought to us every Sunday. And he does a wonderful job, so please take care of him.
Amen.
We love him very much.
Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you for his healing, Father, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, that every cell, every organ, every part of his being lines up with the Word of God and what God spoke over him in Jesus' name.
Father in heaven, we thank you that we can call upon the great physician, Jesus Christ, who spent more time healing than he did preaching. So we ask for the measure of that grace to descend upon his feet right now. The glory and honor of your name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
I'm gonna get to it. We're going to do it in the middle. Like I said, things are going to be a little bit different. It's going to be good, I hope. He got the whole world in his hands. Yep. This is not what I need to hear from you. Bible Gateway has stopped. It's coming back. We're going to be reading from Luke. We're going to start in chapter 22. Here it is. Say, I got it when you got it. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching, and the chief priests and the scribes were trying to find a way to put him to death, since they were afraid of the people. Leading up to this time, there had been some pretty big commotions. I think the most recent of which happened not long before this event here happened, when Jesus came in to town riding a donkey after he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And So anyway, verse 3 says, "And Satan entered Judas, the one called Iscariot, who belonged to the number of the 12. And he left and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he was to betray him to them. And they were delighted and agreed to give him money. So he consented and began looking for a good opportunity to betray him to them away from the crowd. Now the first day of unleavened bread came on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go prepare the Passover for us so that we may eat it.' And they said to him, 'Where do you want us to prepare it?' And he said to them, 'When you've entered the city, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and you shall say to the owner of the house, "The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" And he will show you a large furnished upstairs room. Prepare it there." And they left and found everything just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall not eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." And I have some folks help with the Lord's Supper. Just pass out the elements. Thank you. Now we know that from discernment, we know that the bread represents the body of Jesus. And I've learned a lot from going to church here about that, and the fact that This bread is made without yeast. Yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. And Jesus had no sin in his body. So when you look at this and you see how flat it is, and there's nothing risen about it as far as like bread that we know there's, it doesn't have yeast in it. And that reminds us of Jesus. We see that it's been beaten flat. Jesus was beaten. Over and over and over again. This bread is pierced. You can see holes in it where it's been pierced with a sharp object. Jesus was pierced with so many sharp objects. The thorns in his head. the nails in his hands and feet, all the places in his back where he took the cat of nine tails with the nails and the glass that ripped the hide and ripped the flesh off of his back till the bones were exposed. His lungs were pierced. And you could see when he was trying to breathe, you could see the wounds in his back from that beating. You could see bubbles of air where air was escaping from his lungs. You could see stripes, and it was by his stripes that we were healed. And it's not that we will be healed, that we were healed, past tense. And there's burnt, this bread is slightly burned. And that signifies that the full wrath of God's fire judgment was laid on him. All of these things that he suffered were intended for us. They would have been the repayment for our sin. And Jesus took all of it, and he took it for everyone. So then Jesus said, when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is being given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." We understand that the wine or the juice is significant of his blood. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." They didn't drink. And then he said, "But behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed the Son of Man is going as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to debate among themselves which one of them was going to do this. And a dispute also developed among them as to which one of them was regarded as being the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles domineer over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you. Rather, the one who is the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the servant. For who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I'm among you as the one who serves. You are the ones who have stood by me in my trials. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has determined to sift you men like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail you. When you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." And he said to him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to both the prison and to death." But he said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you've denied three times that you know me." And he said to them, "When I sent you out without money belt and bag and sandals, you did not lack for anything, did you?" They said, "No, nothing." And he said to them, "But now, whoever has a money belt is to take it along, likewise also a bag. And whoever has no sword is to sell his cloak and buy one. For I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. And he was counted with the wrongdoers, for that which he refers to me has its fulfillment." They said, Lord, look, here are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. And he came out and went, as it was his habit, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. Now when he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you do not come into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. When he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you do not come into temptation. While he was still speaking, behold, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading the way for them, and he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When those who were around him saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus responded and said, stop, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come out against him, have you come out with swords and clubs as you would against a man inciting a revolt? While I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay hands on me, but this hour and the power of darkness are yours. Now they arrested him and led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest, but Peter was following at a distance. After they kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter was sitting among them, and a slave woman, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and staring at him, said, this man was with them as well. But he denied it. I do not know him, woman. And a little later, another person saw him and said, you are one of them too. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after about an hour had passed, some other man began to insist, saying, certainly this man also was with him, for he too is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you're talking about. And immediately while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. And then the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had told him, before a rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. The men who were holding Jesus in custody began mocking him and beating him. And they blindfolded him and repeatedly asked him, saying, prophesy, who is the one who hit you? And they were saying many other things against him, blaspheming. When it was day, the council of the elders and the people assembled, both chief priests and scribes, and they led him away to their council chamber, saying, if you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will not believe, and if I ask you a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. And they all said, so you are the Son of God? And he said to them, you say correctly that I am. And they said, what further need do we have a testimony? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth. Trying to figure out how to get to the next chapter here. This way. Somebody keep reading out of their Bible, if you're following me. We should be to Luke 23.
Pilate asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? He answered to him and said, "It is as you say." So Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no fault in this man." But they were more fierce, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place."
Yeah, I'm having internet problems. That's what it is. If you don't mind, go ahead and keep reading.
When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him, because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered them nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood vehemently accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in gorgeous robes, and sent him back to Pilate. That very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been at enmity with each other.
Is that the end of 23?
No, sir. That's verse 12. Can we keep going?
Okay. Go back to the old way of doing things. Okay, you left off on 12. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, "You have brought this man to me as one who perverts the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast." And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison." Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spoke again to them, but they cried, saying, "Crucify him, crucify him." And he said unto them the third time, "Why? What evil hath he done? I found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go." And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. And he released unto them that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon, a Cyrenian, coming out of the country, and on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they shall say, 'Blessed is the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck.' And shall they begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, "He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superstition also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, Verily I say unto thee, Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breast and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, who was a good man and just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and begged for the body of Jesus and took it down and wrapped it in linen and said, and laid it in a sepulcher that was hewn in stone, that wherein never a man before was laid. And that day the preparation and the Sabbath drew on, and the women also which came from him from Galilee followed after, and behold the sepulcher and how his body was laid. And they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested on the Sabbath day according to the commandment. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, they bowed down their faces to the earth. They said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulcher and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, but they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which had come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they were communed there together and reason, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were hidden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that you have to one another as you walk and are so sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, Art thou the only stranger in Jerusalem and has not known the things that which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the prophets, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and broke it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said to one another, did not our hearts burn within us when he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. And as they thus spoke, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, and all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms. He opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you have been endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into the heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. That's pretty much the whole story from beginning to end. Of course, it's never the whole story. The whole story is would fill up every book on the planet. I want to contrast one other thing. Let's go to Acts 1. This sort of picks up where the story left off in the early part. Acts 1 verses 15 through 20. Acts 1? That's correct. Acts 1, 15 through 20. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said the number of names together were about 120. Wait a minute. Okay. That's right. Men and women and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch as that field is called in their proper tongue, Asaladama, I think. That is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bisperak let another take. And the reason I wanted to make that distinction, these are two key things to me when I look at myself and my own life and the way that I could have gone or could not have gone. On the one hand, you've got Judas. On the other hand, you have this thief. What's the difference between them? Really not much. They both had sinned in their lives. We all have. You compare the sins that they committed, one wasn't greater than the other. And we all know that. We all readily can see that if you commit one sin, no matter how bad or how good it is, they're all the same to God. Sin is a sin. And you do one, you're done. According to the law. The difference is Judas didn't repent and didn't call on Jesus to save him from himself. The thief did. And there was another thief on the other side of Jesus. He could have done the same thing. He didn't either. So that's miraculous. That's miraculous that faith will save you, or faith in him will save you. Not only save you, but it gives you a life that you can't imagine how good it can be, and go from being so bad it's unimaginable to so good it's unimaginable. So that's what the Lord gave me this morning. This is my first time ever doing this. It may be my last. But, yeah. So.
You asked for it.
Brother, that's what you just did is not done enough.
No, right.
There's too much sermonizing and not enough word.
Thank you. We got food. Am I leaving something out? Am I leaving something out now? I got it all covered? All right. Skeet just blessed the food, y'all. Come back and get it. It's gonna take us a minute or two to carve some meat up and get things going, but we'll be ready here shortly. Anybody wants to help can come on.